These are the most overlooked winners for fantasy football from this year's NFL draft. And we're going to start in Kansas City with Isaiah Pacheco. Look, there's a lot of guys who are obvious winners, and we talked about that in the 10 biggest winners video, but some of these guys like Pacheco are going massively overlooked, and here's why. A lot of the talk in Kansas City right now is around the Rashee Rice potential suspension and the wide receiver in the first round, Xavier Worthy, that they drafted. So it's sort of keeping it under wraps that Pacheco benefited greatly from this draft. I mean, you look at the draft right here, and there's no running backs taken. The Chiefs had 7 picks in this one. They don't draft a running back. Instead, they end up taking 3 different offensive linemen, so that's going to help the running game. A second round tackle, they get a later round in the 5th round, probably a steal out of Penn State in a center. So there's no fresh blood to compete with Isaiah Pacheco, and if anything, his situation has gotten better since last year because Jerick McKinnon, as of right now, is not with the team. His exact competition you can see right here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is actually with the team. He's not going to be pictured here, but there's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then after that, it's like LaMichael Perine, who they signed last year. Hassan Hall is who's going to be like an undrafted rookie, I believe, that they've taken in the past year. So point being, no competition. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not been able to threaten him, neither have these other backs in past years. And we saw what happened last year when he didn't have any competition, and now he has even less without Jerick McKinnon there. You can see right here, between his carries, 14.6 per game, and targets, 3.5 per game, he was averaging over 18 opportunities per game, and his opportunity share, that's his targets and his overall carries, in this backfield ranked 8th in the entire league. He had the 8th best opportunity share. And Pacheco saw his receptions increase from 13 in his rookie year to 44 last season. And no one on the roster is currently a threat to take away those receptions out of the backfield, especially without Jerick McKinnon there, so you can expect even more production this season. Now, the next player who benefited takes us to the Buffalo Bills draft, and I want to point out right here a 4th round pick out of Kentucky, and that is going to be running back Ray Davis, because he's landing on a depth chart that really needed another running back. Look, of course the Buffalo Bills, if you've been paying attention the last couple of years, they have James Cook, and James Cook is a solid player, extremely explosive. Last year, he ranked 5th in the entire NFL in yards per touch and 2nd in yards per reception amongst running backs. But the one downside to his game is that he's a bit undersized. He came in just under 200 pounds in the NFL draft, and we saw the Bills utilize other running backs in the red zone and goal line last year. Cook earned just 4 goal line carries in 2023 and ranked 22nd in total red zone touches. And it's not like he was seeing a small role. He saw 281 touches last year. They just didn't use him in the red zone. Instead, he was often taken out of the game for some veteran running backs like Latavius Murray, who had 79 carries last year, Ty Johnson, who came on down the stretch and might still be involved this year with 30 carries, even Damian Harris and Leonard Fournette at times were seeing more red zone usage and short yardage usage than James Cook, but most of these guys are not on the team anymore. And this is where we can see Ray Davis come in immediately, because I do think he'll get threatened a little bit by Ty Johnson since he was pretty solid last year, but Darrington Evans isn't going to be a threat. Ray Davis getting the 4th round draft capital and being a solid college producer, probably going to be the guy who's next in line, in my opinion, at least in this backfield, to be the RB2 and get a lot of red zone touches in a good offense. Now, Davis was a productive player in college, and he was actually an underrated pass catcher. He ranked 2nd in this draft class in best season reception share and target share. Davis is known for his vision, instincts, and he's a solid pass-catching RB. So he's an experienced player that coaches are just going to like. He does a lot of things right, and now he lands in a good offense with a good quarterback and should see a red zone role right away. Now, the next guy who benefited from the NFL draft, and this one's kind of flying under the radar, not seeing a lot of people talk about it, is Alvin Kamara, because the Saints didn't take a single running back with any of their 7 draft picks. No, because instead, they just drafted a first-round tackle, which is like the best thing possible for an offensive line in a running game. You get that offensive tackle in Fuaga, who is a solid run blocker. There's no running backs taken here. And Fuaga is just this big, powerful blocker who's just known for kind of moving defenders out of the way in the run game. The addition of that first round tackle should help Kamara, who actually had a fine season last year. Now, in terms of efficiency, it wasn't great, but this right here, his 75 receptions in his first year with Derek Carr, almost 6 per game, really helped him go to be a top 5 and actually a top 3 overall running back in fantasy. And a lot of this should stay the same heading into 2023, because not only did they not add competition at the running back position, they didn't really add any at the tight end or wide receiver position either. You can see right here at the wide receiver position, all they did was draft a 5th rounder in Bub Memes out of Pittsburgh, and their biggest free agent signing was Cedric Wilson. Okay, that's not going to be an issue for him. Now you go to the running backs, it's the same competition as last year for Alvin Kamara. Jamal Williams, who was somebody that barely averaged 3 yards per carry last year, actually 2.9 yards per carry to be exact, and then Kendre Miller, who was a rookie last year, didn't really get involved, not known as a pass catcher. Miller only had 51 touches as a rookie, but we should point out that he actually dealt with some injuries as a rookie, which isn't going to help you at all get on the field, but like I said, he wasn't a pass catcher in college, never top 20 receptions in a season, so he shouldn't even threaten, no matter what, that part of Kamara's game. So outside of Chris Olave and maybe Rashid Shaheed, who's mostly just like a downfield receiver, outside of Olave, which was already the case last year, there's really not a lot of guys on this team threatening. Michael Thomas is no longer with this team. None of these guys are going to be threatening what you're seeing out of Alvin Kamara's target share. So you get a guy in Kamara who finished top 3 in fantasy points last year while only scoring 6 touchdowns. We've seen a lot of double-digit touchdown years from Kamara, so imagine if that happens heading into this year as well. Now, the next overlooked winner from the NFL draft, I want to look at the New England Patriots draft, and their 4th round, they they ended up taking this wide receiver out of UCF in Javon Baker. Let's break it down because I think he has a legitimate chance to be a starter right away. Now, New England took another receiver earlier in the draft than Jalen Polk out of Washington. I like Jalen Polk. He could play all three wide receiver positions, but if we're talking about a higher ceiling, I think you actually get that in Baker, the way that he plays and where he wins. He's just a legit receiver all around Javon Baker, and I actually thought he could have been a second or third round pick and wouldn't have been surprised at all. Baker averaged over 17 yards per catch in 2023 and consistently won downfield and in jump ball situations. He's an explosive, dynamic player downfield, and he has really trustworthy hands. Now, he actually started his career at Alabama, and then he transferred into 2022, where he had 800 yards immediately, put up 1,100 yards on over 50 catches, and look at this, 22 yards per catch. You can see right here, just insane production from Javon Baker at UCF when he actually got to get on the field. And now he enters this wide receiver room in New England that we've talked about in other videos. There's just no true alpha here. Like, Jalen Polk, their second round pick, might right away be their wide receiver one. Juju might be a cut candidate. Kendrick Bourne hasn't been consistent and is getting older, mostly a slot player for the most part. And then there's Demario Douglas, a sixth round pick from last year, found success last season because he was really the only option. But if a sixth round pick can find success, that should give you some confidence in Javon Baker, a fourth round pick who had better college production, finding success as well. And maybe the fact that they have a rookie quarterback in Drake May, maybe there's something to kind of these rookie receivers and rookie quarterbacks entering the NFL at the same time, having something to bond over. Maybe there's a chemistry form there. Now, the next overlooked winner, and I'm surprised to see the backlash that this guy's landing spot is getting, but Jonathan Brooks, the first running back taken in the NFL draft. I could not disagree more with the people who don't like him as an overlooked or a winner in general for the NFL draft. Because Brooks lands on the Panthers, who, yeah, they were terrible last year, but a lot has changed, and we'll get into that on this offense this past offseason. But look at this. He gets taken in the second round, the first running back drafted, solid draft capital, but they actually trade up for him, and they gave up 2 fifth round picks in addition to their second round pick in the swap here with the Colts to do so. That's a good amount of draft capital. This is their guy. And he enters a backfield with middling competition at best. I mean, Miles Sanders signed a $6 million per year deal last year and then lost his job to Chuba Hubbard. Sanders now a trade candidate being talked about. And Chuba Hubbard was a fine running back last year. Nothing elite, nothing great, just a fine running back. And this kind of draft capital and the trade up for Jonathan Brooks probably means he just lost his job to Brooks. I mean, Hubbard averaged over 16 touches per game in this Panthers offense last year. That was definitely much worse on paper than it's going to be this year. And they got a better head coach in Dave Canales. And now you're going to throw Jonathan Brooks in there, who last year, when he finally got to start at Texas, since Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson weren't there anymore, he goes out there and he averages nearly 19 carries per game. When you factor in his receptions of 25, he had over 21 touches per game. This is a workhorse back who averaged 140 yards per game in college and is now going to go right into a starting role once healthy in the NFL. Brooks is known for his great vision, balance, and size, and he's a quality pass catcher who can also win downfield. And now, he did tear his ACL and have surgery in November. 9-month timeline would put him right around an August return, so he'll probably be ramped up to start the season. So don't be worried if you draft him and he's kind of struggling for a couple of weeks, and then I think he'll get his full-time role by the midway point. Now, something I keep hearing is that this Panthers offense is terrible, and again, it was terrible last year, but not only did they get Dave Canales, who has been a great offensive coordinator for the Seahawks and the Bucks the past few seasons, they also signed Diontae Johnson. They draft a first-round receiver in Xavier Leggett, and then you scroll down here a little bit, they draft a fourth-round tight end, they added three offensive linemen in free agency. A lot has changed to make this offense a lot better, and if it takes a step forward, Brooks is going to benefit a lot. Now, the next player who is getting overlooked, and I think kind of like the Dynasty Fantasy Football diehards notice this, and they probably notice a lot of these, but it's going to be the third round pick for the Cincinnati Bengals, and that is Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. He's kind of becoming like a trendier under the radar, which maybe means he's not under the radar anymore, but overall, very, very quality add in position and landing spot for Burton. Because look, this guy could have easily been, in my opinion, definitely a second round talent, probably even a late first round talent, that if he didn't have all these off the field issues that ended up dropping him out of the second round into round three. Now, a reason why this landing spot is great is, one, Tyler Boyd's not there anymore, but number two, T. Higgins is on the franchise tag. There's been a lot of talk about it in the media, so kind of people know the situation with the wide receiver room here. You have the obvious Jamar Chase going to get paid a bag, and T. Higgins after this year probably won't be there, which means Jermaine Burton has a lot of upside, not only this year as a wide receiver three, but beyond that with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Now, here's what you should know about Burton. He actually started his career at Georgia, where it was a loaded wide receiver and tight end room, so he said, you know what, I want to catch more than 20 balls a year. I'm going to head out and go to Alabama, where he led the team with receptions and receiving yards and touchdowns and yards per catch each of the past two seasons. And Burton is best known for his ability to stretch the field, as he ranked top 10 in college football deep targets of 20 or more yards last season. And this dude just flat out wins with his athleticism. He kind of runs these like dangerous routes almost, and he has very subtle movements that make a world of a difference. In some ways, he reminds me of a probably more athletic like Robert Woods, or probably Calvin Ridley, same school as well, Alabama type player. Now, when you think about a wide receiver three for Joe Burrow, of course the offense has changed over the years, but you look at Tyler Boyd and what he was able to do just a year ago. Now, obviously he's been the model of health out there the last two seasons, not missing a game, but 67 catches, 98 targets. This is pretty good upside, and that's if you're not getting like a big injury, knock on wood, no big injury for T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. But the wide receiver three for Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense has been productive in past past seasons. And that's Tyler Boyd, who was never really a vertical downfield threat in this offense the last couple of seasons when Jermaine Burton is. He can work in the slot deep and he can work on the outside in some two wide receiver sets as well, which will lead to more big upside plays for your fantasy team. All right, now let's talk about a quarterback who benefited. And honestly, this guy's benefited all offseason long, but even from the NFL draft, he just continued to win. And it's Will Levis, the Titans quarterback. And I haven't seen anybody talk about him. And really, the only thing that needed to happen was for them to continue to increase their offensive line. We thought Joe Alt from Notre Dame might fall there. He went to the Chargers at five, but then they get the next best option. JC Latham out of Alabama, an offensive tackle who's just an absolute athletic freak and a great pick to protect Will Levis. Latham is just like this monster, around 350 pounds, and he has so much power, but even though he has that, he's very nimble and has balance, a very rare offensive lineman. And this was just another piece that the Titans added this offseason to help Levis, because they signed Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, and center Lloyd Cushenberry earlier this offseason. And now this is setting up a very appealing wide receiver room for Will Levis. They're basically saying, are you the guy or not? We're going to give you everything that you can have from these offensive lineman pieces to reliable veteran receivers. Sure, they're aging, but haven't fallen off any type of cliff yet in DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. Treylon Burks is there. Maybe he turns into something year three. If so, that's a nice little bonus. And then you get the running backs who are both athletic, both have their proper dynamic abilities in Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. And this is exactly what Levis needs, because last year in a run-first offense when Derrick Henry was still there, this was a team that only had Will Levis have 200 passing yards per game. You scroll down here and it wasn't all that effective for him. He had a nice start to his career throwing a bunch of touchdown passes in his first game, but then he ranks 35th in true completion percentage overall. The offensive line pieces, the veteran wide receivers, we'll see if he can take a step forward this year. He was a big winner. And another big winner, in my opinion, takes us to the Buffalo offense and their tight end, second-year player Dalton Kincaid. Because if we look at the Bills draft, they desperately needed a wide receiver and they took one in round two. The first pick in round two, they end up getting Keon Coleman, but this was the only wide receiver they took. And there's 160 targets out there with Stephon Diggs alone leaving this offseason, not even to mention Gabe Davis, that are up for grabs. And I don't think Keon Coleman as a rookie is going to see all those. And yes, some of that volume will go to Curtis Samuel, the new signing, but what can you expect there? Maybe 100, 120 targets in a really good year. Khalil Shakur will earn some more targets as well. But overall, there's probably going to be like 20 to 25 or more targets available for Dalton Kincaid. Now, Kincaid was a first round pick last year that the Bills kind of drafted and hyped up as a receiver, as all the other first round receivers went right before him in the 2022 draft. And it took him until week seven to break out when Dawson Knox went down with an injury and he saw more playing time. But once this happened, he really started producing. Kincaid averaged 7.6 targets and 63% more yards per game during this time. And from week seven to week 10 in his rookie year, he scored 15 or more fantasy points in every single game. And again, keep in mind, that's with Stephon Diggs and also Gabe Davis on the team at that time. And then he ended his season pretty solid. These are his receiving yards his last four games, a couple of games in the 80s. You can see his fantasy production was solid, top 10 finishes in three of his last four or all four of those games. And then you can see right here in the postseason, these last two games, five targets and six targets in the biggest games of the year. So to be exact, Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis will leave 241 targets behind in this offense. Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel aren't going to be adding all of those up. You're going to see a decent amount more for Dalton Kincaid. He is a winner. And if you want to be a winner in your fantasy leagues, dynasty or season long, whatever it is, check out the Fantasy Blueprint. This is our third year doing this Fantasy Blueprint. Plain and simple, it has every single thing you need to make your fantasy playoffs and ultimately win your fantasy league. Now to get access to it, you just follow these two simple steps with the link in the description below. And here's the thing. If you don't make your fantasy playoffs, it's just $10, by the way, for the entire year, for the next 12 months, just 10 bucks overall, not per month, $10 total, less than a dollar a month. If you don't make your fantasy playoffs, I just give it back to you. I give that $10 right back, no questions asked. Now to get your Fantasy Blueprint today for this limited time offer, you can just scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description below. That will take you to a page where you just follow two simple steps to get this through our partners. And then bada bing, bada bang, you try to smack around your competition this year with that blueprint. Now the next winner takes us to the New England Patriots offense. And it's not going to be Ramondre Stevenson, but it has to do with something that he said in an interview in a press conference. You can see right here, he was talking. He basically says that they're trying to run the Cleveland Browns offense. And if they're trying to run the Cleveland Browns offense, that means a heavy run game with some play action and two tight ends on the field often, which also means that a tight end will be involved in the passing game like David Njoku has been for the Browns the last couple of years, which means an underrated sneaky winner in this NFL draft cycle was indeed Hunter Henry, because he's going to be in an offense, like we just mentioned earlier, with this wide receiver room that doesn't have any alphas, let alone a starting three established right now. And then there's no Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki ends up leaving in free agency. So right now he's dealing with a rookie and Jaheim Bell. Austin Hooper comes in, a much less athletic version of one Mike Gesicki. So you're looking at Hunter Henry here, and he's in a position right now to kind of be the rookie quarterback who's coming in Drake May's favorite target or comfort target, especially in the red zone. And this is a guy in Hunter Henry who had 42 catches last year. That's nothing alarming or anything crazy to say, oh, he's so great, but it was a terrible Patriots offense that just kept running the ball. Maybe this year this can increase in a brand new offense by 10 or 20 receptions and a little bit more in the red zone as well, touchdowns wise. And believe it or not, Hunter Henry, even during his time with the Chargers, never topped a 60 reception season. A bold prediction would be that Hunter Henry sets a career high in catches this year with over 60. Now, this is a real deep sleep sleeper for us on an overlooked rookie, and he takes us to the Giants draft where they only had 6 draft picks, but in the 5th round, they go out there and they get a running back in Tyrann Tracy out of Purdue, and this guy is going overlooked. Because I believe that Tracy is the rare 5th round pick that can actually come in immediately and make an impact for a team, definitely as this team's RB2 at the very least. Because all this guy has done in his career is kind of be an outlier and do things that aren't normal. He's kind of rare. He spent 6 seasons in college, actually, and you can't really see them here. 2 of them aren't listed, but he started college in 2018 where he was a wide receiver for 4 years, and it wasn't until 2022, a little bit, when he became a running back, 17 rush attempts, but finally in 2023, he goes out there. He's a full-time running back. He puts on some size, 113 carries, over 700 rushing yards, and here's the big thing. In his first year ever as a full-time running back, he led the entire Big Ten in yards per carry, and the Big Ten had good running backs. Blake Corum was there with Michigan. Penn State had a guy named Nick Singleton, who you'll learn about a little bit more soon. And then Tracy went to the NFL Combine, where his stock only increased even more, because at a pretty quality size of over 200 pounds, he goes out there and runs a 4.48 40 time and shows elite burst and agility scores. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Devin Singletary is the RB1 on this team, at least to start the season for sure. He's a proven veteran, 3 straight seasons of 1,000-plus total yards, and was just given nearly $10 million in guaranteed money. But after that, I mean, Gary Brightwell is no threat. Eric Gray could barely get on the field last year as a backup behind Saquon Barkley when they needed a backup. So I think you're already looking at Tyrann Tracy, the RB2 here immediately, and will push due to his dynamic and explosive ability for RB1 touches at some point this year. So I believe that these were the most overlooked fantasy winners in the NFL draft. We also have a video out there of the biggest winners in general, maybe some more mainstream type names, but a couple of sleepers in there, and you can check out that video right over here. And let me know in the comment section for either of these videos who you think I missed or who you think I was wrong on. I'll see you beautiful people in the next one.